This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
Having spent over £150 million in the summer, Everton were expected to challenge up near the top ends of the Premier League table. Instead, Sunday's defeat to Arsenal, 5-2 defeat, pretty heavy defeat, plunged them into the bottom three instead, and now Ronald Koeman has lost his job. What do we make of that decision? Was that the right decision or a bit of a hasty one?
I mean, he lost to Arsenal. If you lose to Arsenal, you have to lose your job. It's as simple as that. No, I mean, I think we'll dive into it deeper as later on the show, into like the ins and outs. But I think there's a lot more going on at Everton than just maybe a coach who hasn't got his hand on a squad there. I think, but ultimately at the same time, you know, they're now in the bottom three, I believe, bottom four actually. And it didn't look like anything was changing around. It didn't look like if the coach was supposed to fix that, he wasn't going to do it. So I can understand the decision, so perfectly well.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are deeper kind of issues to delve into. I mean, it's very simplistically with Everton. When you spend that much money in the market, and then suddenly the expectation went completely through the roof. And it was absolutely absurd to think that it would be anywhere near a top four side this season, because you can't just throw £150 million at it and think, well, that's it, then we're golden. Didn't work at Manchester City. That's something they had to develop over time, and then Everton need to develop it over time as well.
Yeah, I was going to make that point about Manchester City. It was very similar to the Shinawatra years for me at Man City, in that they spent a lot of money on decent players, but not players who were going to help them get into that top four. In terms of the team on the pitch, what are the problems that they have at the moment?
Well, I just don't see what they're trying to achieve, because the Ronald Koeman side seemed to be very much built across... He took it from Roberto Martinez and it was shore the ship up, which they did. And then in the summer, Jordan Pickford and Michael Keane come in. You think, okay, you know, decent Premier League. Jordan Pickford, a very talented goalkeeper. Michael Keane, a very solid and steady Premier League defender. And it's just kind of fallen apart from there. So defensively, I don't know if it's the cohesion's missing there, if it's still relying on the Phil Jagielka being around, even though he isn't so much now through injury. For me, it's more... going forward, Everton has always been the team where it was dynamic central players with a bit of flair down the flanks that could drive the team forward, and it's missing it this season. They bolstered the middle of the park with players who just haven't caught fire yet. They don't have anyone who will run at players down the flank and relieve pressure and get the ball out to drive the team forward. And then there's the Lukaku problem, isn't there?
How much of an issue was that? It seems like Koeman and his little... subtle messages and cryptic messages every week has been kind of suggesting that the failure to get a proper replacement for Lukaku has completely crippled them. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Everton were ever really going to be able to replace Lukaku. So I can understand bringing in someone like Ramirez, who had a decent record in Spain. I think we're fair in saying that.
Very talented player. Yeah. I think Barcelona last season were thinking they'd made a mistake in letting him go to Malaga. So a good signing, especially for £5 million they got him for.
He hasn't really done it yet. But he's a completely different type of player to Lukaku. And it's not just the striker as well, like you just mentioned there. You mentioned the defence. Their attacking line, which has done dreadful so far this season, just hasn't really done anything so far. I mean, if you look at the three men behind Ramirez every week, they're all three players who arrived this summer, you know, and like you said, the back line as well. So you've not only do you have the problem of having to replace a striker who the team was built around for the last, what, two or three seasons, you've also got an entire midfield that are now trying to feel their way around the players that they've got alongside them. And you know, it's crazy. You've got, I mean, Klaassen was obviously going to have to make a step up, and there was, despite the amount of money that was spent on him, there was going to be question marks over whether he could make that step up. And unfortunately, he as a player and perhaps the coaches at Everton can't just try and focus in on whether he's fitting into the Premier League, because they have another three or four attackers in that team who they're trying to figure out. I mean, obviously you've got players like Sigurdsson who are fantastic players in the Premier League, but he's trying to fit into a system. And then, so I don't know. I mean, when you say, like, how do you replace a striker like Lukaku, my initial reaction is, well, not by bringing in three or four playmakers who don't know how to play with each other to try and help the guy who's supposed to play.
And Wayne Rooney.
Well, I was going to go on to the Wayne Rooney question. Is there any way we can just blame Wayne Rooney? Because that would be convenient for us all. Or has he actually been a rare highlight in what's been a dreadful season so far? He's got quite a few goals to his name.
No, he's the only one with goals to his name.
Yeah, but I think that's it. But then that is also the problem, because I don't think he's an untalented player and I don't think he's unable to bring anything to this team. But it's almost like they've tried to adapt the way they play to fit him in. And that's just a recipe for disaster, because how many seasons has he got left as Everton's front man who's going to bang in goals? I give him till February, frankly. I mean, don't give him to the end of the season when it comes to
February
that.
February just there? Or
so if you try and build the team around that, I mean, you're talking about Ramirez, this is the man that should be the focal point they're trying to build the team around. For Everton, for me though, it's not about one player. It's not even about the players that have been brought in having to get up to speed. This is a team who just look like they don't have a clue what they're doing. They're lifeless, they're limp. They were allowed to be pinned back by Arsenal and just bullied off the ball, and they had no out ball, no creativity. They were just limp and lifeless. And that's much more concerning. And that's something you can turn around. But why was Ronald Koeman not getting that out of his players?
Yeah, I mean, I think Wayne Rooney, to an extent, actually maybe symbolises the problems Everton have had in the transfer window this summer and what the consequences of it in this new season. They got Wayne Rooney because they could get Wayne Rooney. They didn't get him because they needed him or because he was even a good... I mean, you could argue he's still a good player or not till the cows come home, but they didn't need him. But they had this new...
Symbolic signing.
Yeah, they had this blank check and they thought, well, we can get Wayne Rooney now. And then they thought, we can get Sigurdsson now, and we can get Klaassen now, and we can get this boy from Spain now. And they've brought in about half a dozen, more than that, maybe a dozen players.
So along those lines, and going back to what you were saying about Everton having a bigger problem than just the coach, I mean, is there more to be addressed? I mean, how much of the blame falls with the people signing the players, and or the people not signing the players in the case of a centre-forward?
I think that's entirely the point. They've got this new owner, and they've also got a new director of football who I think, I mean, I'm not entirely sure if it's been documented actually or report or confirmed who is specifically going out and buying the players. If it's Coleman who said, I want this guy, and he can't implement it into the team, then it ultimately falls on the coach. But if the coach is being given a whole new roster of players and he's been told, go try and fit that, and it's almost like the old Galactico situation at Real Madrid, where
we compared Everton to AC Milan earlier in the season, so that's nothing.
We need Thomas Gravesen to come back in more.
We compared AC Milan to Everton. Never comparing Everton Real Madrid. No, and I mean in the sense that they had this revolving door of managers, and it was never a case that the manager was given the priority. It was always, well, we're going to sign these big fancy players, and if you can't make them all squeeze into one team, then we'll bring someone else in who can. And that might, I think that there might be a case of that. Everton.
Well, we have to remember where Ronald Koeman came from, though, and that was a Southampton that are so well fitted in how they do the recruitment, you know, the analytical side of things, the amount of processes that a player will get through before he even gets to the manager's door for the final decision. Mm. And that makes me think, well, is that kind of slightly different at Everton, that he's had more autonomy, he's had more influence in decision making? Are the layers not there that certain players are slipping through the net? I mean, he had, I want to call it success at Southampton. I mean, it depends how you define success. But that was a club where he just had to come in and make the best of a talented squad of players that are so finely tuned in how they're picked. You only get to play for Southampton if you tick so many different types of criteria. And I'd ask myself, what's the Everton criteria? And I don't think the club themselves will know what that player, what the DNA of that player is necessarily, and that's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, if you go with the line of theory that, you know, the very best run clubs in the world can do so and continue to maintain success irrespective of the manager. So the system, and the system is so well done, like at Southampton to an extent, and maybe other clubs like Bayern Munich, for example, they're so well run that it doesn't really matter who the coach comes in, because the system's in place and he's just really got to deal with the players on the pitch. If you follow that line of reason, then surely the opposite of that is, no matter how good the coach, if the system at the club isn't working, they're doomed to failure. And I think Everton are closer right now to that second system.
So what do they do now? I mean, fundamental change might be beyond them at this point. They've got to appoint a manager. So who are the guys who can come in there? Who should they be looking to now to forge a decent team from that group of players? Because it is a talented group of players. You know, they're not bad players.
There's only one man for it, David Moyes. I'm joking. Well, the real danger is that they basically bring in a yes man, and he goes along with the system. And every transfer window, they have a huge turnover of players. Because they do actually have a talented group of players there. They have a really good squad. They need someone who can come in who's really pragmatic, a coach who basically won't take any shit and will say, right, this is my first 11, these are my subs, this is how I'm going to play this game. Don't come to me in January with four more attacking midfielders because some agent got in touch and says he can sell them to you for this price. This is my squad, this is what it's going to be for the next season. And there are pragmatic coaches out there.
Grant, any suggestions?
Yeah, I think, you know,
Robinson at Motherwell maybe?
I'm saying nothing. can't believe I walked into that one.
That'd be one for the boots. Straight from. Do you know who might be an interesting one? Let me jump in there. If Ireland don't win their playoff, I think Martin O'Neill might be an interesting return to the Premier League. He's a coach, he'll come in. We all know what he's like. You know, I mean, I think he's unfairly judged actually on this, what happened at Sunderland. I think Sunderland's
no one should be.
And his Aston Villa record is poorly remembered as well. That was the squad where he actually got them to, you know, incredibly high positions in the league.
And he actually did that by wrestling with a similar chairman who was bringing in players, spending money, and you know, it was a high turnover of players. So, yeah, I think Martin O'Neill's proven himself time and time again as a really good coach. He's a very pragmatic coach. He gets stuck in and he really gets down in the weeds with the squad, and he can turn over a good job.
I think the expectations at Everton now have to be realigned with a manager they get in, because they're not in a relegation fight necessarily. You would expect that squad of players to kind of resort to the mean and get a mid-table finish, but it's about the manager that will achieve that, because it's someone now that's going to get you out of a scrap. Because it's not the time, it strikes me, where Everton will go, well, we've been thinking about this for 8 to 10 weeks now, and we've already identified who Ronald Koeman's successor was going to be, and it's clearly well thought out, and it's going to be a man to take us forward for the next 5 years. So with that in mind, I think it'll be Sean Dyche.
Sean Dyche. Here's my three candidates. Your safety first appointment, Big Sam, obviously, the go-to guy. Yep. Just in case they're panicking to that extent, they just want to stay up. Second one, slightly more ambitious, a bit more of a gamble, but in the long term, David Wagner at Huddersfield. And here's the third one, I'll ask you about this, Stefan, having just been sacked from your club in your beloved Bundesliga. He's on the shortlist, everyone's shortlist, every bookmaker shortlist, and it's an ambitious one. It's Carlo Ancelotti. Would he be a good fit or not? Would he take that job? I mean, how do you see it?
After he left Bayern Munich, he said he was going on sabbatical for a year, I think, didn't he, to the end of the season. I mean, that might just be, I mean, that could be like a non-compete clause or something in his contract, for all we know. I think he'd jump at a job in Everton, no doubt about it. I think he quite enjoyed his time in England. And
mm-hmm. He was successful at Chelsea. He was unfairly sacked, I would say.
I'm just not entirely sure. Again, there's just too many moving pieces, I think, for a coach like Ancelotti. He's far more hands-off. And despite, you know, what he obviously has done in the Europa and Champions League, the UEFA Champions League, I tend to think he can quite often take his eye off the ball in league campaigns. And I don't know. I think he would be the big blue chip signing that they bring in just to kind of like, you know, get the season tickets back.
Statement
on.
Signing.
Yeah, and him or like Mancini or something. You know, you're like, oh well, fine.
I think we need to seriously discuss this David Moyes thing, because we scoffed at it when the name was said, but I mean,
literally scoffed a minute ago.
Yeah, I did. But I think it's open to serious discussion, because his name has been bandied about, and how realistic that is, and whether that ownership would return to him. I think not. How would the Everton fans react to David Moyes, and what would he bring to the club? Well, it's quite easy to look back to the fifth and sixth place finishes that he brought, the European football he was able to bring in with a side that was lower budget and getting the best out of the players available to him. It was a different era, I will grant you that. But the style of football, does it lend itself to this current squad? Perhaps. I mean, it's so easy to just say, oh, well, he's done it before, so come in and do it again. That's an exceptionally lazy thing to say. But I just think some of the qualities he might be able to bring to it might just be what it is to get them out of this hole and build a platform for the next couple of years for someone to then build upon.
But the mistake they maybe made in signing Wayne Rooney, would that not just be the managerial equivalent of that?
Perfect, yeah.
I think the Everton that David Moyes managed is dead, if I'm honest with you. I think the chairman's gone, who gave him so much time and gave him so much patience. And they've now, I think they're a completely different beast now. They are now part of this Premier League elite of stupid clubs spending a stupid amount of money.
I don't think they are. This is the thing.
Dire inefficiency.
Well, I just think, and I think there'll be a temptation to return to that stability, if you like, even though it was a completely different era. They know what he's all about. We know what he can get out of a squad of players that have certain qualities. And yes, the personnel and the names are very different from David Moyes' time, but and their actual capabilities and what they have at their disposal, is it that much of a different team?
Is it stability? You're saying stability is what they need now. In the summer, it was all about, can Everton punch through this glass ceiling? So that's obviously a bit of a change in the discussion. Going back to that discussion of the summer, are Everton destined to just always be Everton, or will there ever be anything more than that?
Depends if Kroenke sells his shares in Arsenal and decides he wants a piece of the pie as well.
I mean, I don't know if that would be a good thing for Everton, given his record.
They're now, well, like I said, they are now part of this elite band of clubs who are owned by, you know, exceptionally wealthy individuals. And I don't see them going back to, a dogmatic, tailored transfer policy of only buying bits and bobs of people they need. I think they're going. I think they will continue. I mean, Tottenham did it for years until they found a coach who could genuinely sculpt a squad into, you know, punching above its weight. I, despite the amount of money that goes around the Premier League, despite the huge turnover of players, I still think it's a league that's dominated by good coaching. And you have to be able to get that right. And I don't think Everton are at the point where they're willing to accept that. I don't think the guy they brought in, this new the new owner, the new director of football, the amount of money they're spending, I don't think they're willing to accept that what they did in the summer there was wrong. And they need to bring in a, and they're willing to just take a step back and let the coach go on with his job. I don't think they're there yet. And until they are, I don't really think it matters who the coach is.
Is a long-term approach required from Everton? They can scale those heights because we've seen the clubs that have done it before. But it comes down to revenues. Does Goodison Park generate the revenues they have? Because having a wealthy owner only gets you so far under financial fair play rules. So you've got the revenue side of things.
PSG.
Or AC Milan, or it seems to be at the moment. So you have the revenue side of things, and it's also about having to outsmart and outthink clubs. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing Spurs have done with their transfer policy over time. It's what Southampton do to get them to where they are just now. Everton need to look to those models rather than think they can just chuck money at a problem and they'll get success from it.
So they should hire Arsene Wenger.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.